Welcome to the Over 40 Alpha Podcast with your host, Funk Roberts. Funk has co-authored the best-selling book, Rapid Body Makeover. He is a master metabolic trainer, has been interviewed as a fitness expert on NBC, ABC, and CBS affiliates, and has a dedicated following of over 1.5 million people worldwide. With this podcast, Funk is dedicated to helping men in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond to regain their manhood and reach their highest potential through fitness, health, nutrition, mindset, and becoming over 40 alpha men. Join me in welcoming your host, Funk Roberts.
Hey, what's up? What's up, my brother? And welcome to the Over 40 Alpha Podcast. This is episode number 17. And thank you so much for spending some time with me. You know, I really do appreciate it. I appreciate that you're here. My name's Funk Roberts. I'm your host, and I'm here to help men in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond get in the best shape of their lives, get in the best health of their lives through mindset, recovery, nutrition, workouts, supplementation, and anything to help get men's testosterone back up and get men back to where they were and where they should be and where we should be. And I'm really excited about today's episode because on today's episode, we've got Dr. Dominica. We are going to talk about testosterone and the importance of testosterone. Literally take it back to testosterone 101. You know, it's really important that we learn about testosterone and why we need it. You know, that listen, testosterone levels are the lowest they've ever been in modern day history. And men are dying quicker and faster than ever before. Even though we have the technology, we have medicine, we have, you know, everything in place to help us live longer, men are living shorter, you know, shorter lives. And it's scary. And, you know, one of the main reasons, and of course, one of the main things that I'm doing here is helping men understand that it is our number one hormone, which is testosterone, which, in, you know, generally speaking, right now in the world, they're trying to, you know, society tries to suppress testosterone and tries to suppress our testosterone. And I think there's a lot of misconceptions of what having a lot of testosterone really does and really is. And for us guys, it's everything. Like, we have no testosterone, we're dying, period. So we need to get that testosterone up, and our testosterone generally naturally decreases 1-2% once we reach age of 30. So right away, we reach age of 30, and every year after that, 1-2% of our testosterone levels are naturally decreasing. So we're already behind the eight ball. So this episode is going to be the most important episode of your entire life, wherever you are right now. Most guys think they have a lot of testosterone, but they don't. They don't. You know, number one, some of the biggest factors of having, you know, not a lot of testosterone is belly fat, you know. But if you have belly fat, you don't have testosterone. Testosterone levels are super low, you know, along with energy and obesity and, you know, depression and you know, loss of muscle, all types of things that are related to this hormone. So we need to understand this hormone. We need to understand the importance of this hormone, and we need to understand how it works, you know, how it's produced, the best times it's produced, you know, how we can increase our testosterone, things that decrease our testosterone, things that are killing our testosterone. And in this episode, be excited, guys, because that's what this is all about. Be super, super, super excited, because that's what we're going to be talking about in this episode with Dr. Dom. And Dr. Dom, she's amazing, man. She's a doctor like a naturopathic doctor, but this is what she focuses on, men in their 40s, women too, but really focuses on men in their 40s. So be super, 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 super excited. The other thing you need to be super, 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 super excited is I built an entire program designed around boosting your testosterone levels and addressing all of the things that hit us in, when we reach 40, when we reach 50 in our 60s. So that we can prolong our life, so that we can get healthier, so that can we lose belly fat, so we can get in the best shape of our lives. And right now, there's thousands of men that are using this program on a daily basis to get in the best shape of their lives. No joke, no joke. Listen, if you don't know about my Over 40 Alpha program, then you're being left behind. And if you're not on the Over 40 Alpha program, then, man, you are way behind. There's tons of other programs out there that don't really address exactly what us men over 40 need and how we need to train and how we need to eat and what we don't eat and the workouts we do and the recovery and the sleep. Like, this is everything, the mindset that we need to have. So right now, what I want you to do, press pause. I want you to go to over40alpha.com/7-day trial. over40alpha.com/7-day trial and sign up right now. You will not be disappointed, because we're going to address everything that we're going to talk about in this episode right now. We're going to address that. We're going to talk about testosterone, but more important, in this program, you're going to get mindset strategies to help you change that mindset, to help you be motivated internally, so that you don't have to think about external motivation ways to motivate yourself, so you can stay consistent, so you can get up every day and do what you need to do, whether it's going to the workouts, whether it's eating proper food to get you in the best shape of your life and get your testosterone up. You're going to get recovery and sleep strategies. Man, the biggest thing that are killing us right now, killing our testosterone, is sleep, lack thereof sleep. So we need to find strategies to help us sleep, and I'm going to help you through that. Recovery strategies, so that we can't work out the way we used to all the time. So we need to have strategies that help us with our recovery. I'm going to give you nutrition, exactly what to eat, when to eat, the type of foods to eat that'll help you boost your testosterone, and the type of foods to eat that'll help that to stay away from that is killing our testosterone and increasing those killer hormones. And finally, you're going to get workouts that you can do, follow along workouts you can do at home, whether just with your body weight or with your dumbbells. But now you've got workouts that you can do at home every month. You get brand new workouts sent to you. You get an app. You have bonus programs. I've got body weight programs. I've got ab programs, yoga programs. Sorry. Listen, guys, get on this, man. Go to over40alpha.com/7-day trial. Get on it. Hundreds of men. Plus, you get the Facebook group with your support. Anyways, I'm done talking. I want you to get to this amazing, amazing episode. This is going to change your life. This episode right here is going to be the game changer in your life, because now you're going to understand how important testosterone is, how it's produced, what we need to do to increase it, what we need to do to keep it decreased. And I'm really excited to get on this with you. So, be prepared and get ready to learn about testosterone. We are live. We are live. We are live, people. And welcome to the Over 40 Alpha podcast. And today, I'm very excited, because this is probably the most important podcast episode we are going to have ever, whether from past or in future. This is the one that you generally have to listen to, or should listen to, because this is the one that's going to have the biggest effect on your life. Period. This is it. Like, it was, you reach 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, and beyond. And I think, in the future, we're going to be able to live till we're 100, 110, 120. Like, I want to live till I'm over 100. Like, that's my goal. So if I start, continuing to really focus now, I'm 50 next month, April, and it's March. No, it's February. So April, month and a half, whatever. Anyways, I want to live till I'm 100 and more. Like, I want to see what's going on in the world. And I know that, advancements in science and technology and everything else may, if we live long enough and stay healthy enough, allow us to do that in the future. But before we do that, we've got to focus on the number one hormone. And I'm super excited to have my girl, Dr. Dom's in the house. Dr. Dom, what's up?
Hi, how are you? I'm so good. Happy to be here with you today.
Yeah, me too. I'm happy
it's
to
been
have
a
you.
While.
Just give these guys a little overview of who you are and what your background is and why the hell they should be listening to you.
So my name is Dominika Zazosna. I'm a naturopathic doctor. I've been in practice for over 10 years now. And basically my thing is helping men as well as women restore, tricky things like hormone health, so that they can feel well and then get to do all of the things that they want to do to feel inspired and lead meaningful and powerful lives, right? So when things like hormones are literally bogging you down, the day-to-day becomes really challenging, right? So who's out there to help tease that out? Because right, it's actually incredibly complex to actually just isolate one hormone without looking at the context of that individual's life and in the context of other hormones. It just doesn't work that way. We've got to really understand the full picture. So that's right. What I do.
Okay, we're going to pause for 2 seconds. Okay. Sorry. Yes. All right. We're back. Okay. So, So today we're going to talk about testosterone.
We are.
And the importance of testosterone and why, let's just start from the very beginning. You know, what is testosterone?
So testosterone is a sex hormone. It's made in men as well as it is made in women. And it's actually made from cholesterol. And testosterone, when men think testosterone, they think, muscles, they think deep voice, they think body hair. And while that's true, testosterone has other far-reaching effects on the health, including building of bone, maintaining a powerful immune system, maintaining mental concentration, stamina, mood, making of protein, and controlling blood sugar and that sort of thing. So it has far-reaching effects on the body, which is why testosterone is referred to as a pleiotropic hormone, which is it's got a lot of different functions in the body.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's like everything too. Like, I mean, you talked about mood, you talked about like even fat loss, metabolism, just, I know that depression even has to do with, when your testosterone levels are low, your metabolism slows down, you have a lot of depression, you're storing a lot of fat. All of those things that you said, that's, it's like literally if anything is wrong with us and like, it's like, we have like chronic things that are happening to us, or we're always depressed, or we have low energy, or we're always like gaining fat, like anything, specifically happening over the age of 40 that we always blame on age. Cause that's what we do.
Right. Yeah.
Like, oh, we're just getting old. I'm supposed to have a belly. I'm supposed to feel like shit. I'm supposed to have, shoulder pain and knee pain, and I'm supposed to be obese. Like it's brutal.
No, the fact of the matter is while there is a decline in testosterone levels as we age,
yes,
we know that when we compare two groups of men who are of the same age, so both 65, the group of men that has a higher level of testosterone lives longer, has a greater muscle mass, has better blood sugar regulation, and simply lives longer.
Right.
They're less likely to have falls. They're more likely to be able to, remain mobile, which, as we know, the more we move, the longer that we can move, the better, the healthier we are, right?
So
we do know that low testosterone is associated with increased aging and, greater risk of death.
Yeah. And for guys, like, I know that it's funny, like men, we don't really think about that.
No.
What's the last thing we think about? Oh, aging. Like, we're not like women, where women are all thinking about aging and looks and all that stuff and death and everything. But men, we're day to day guys. You know what I mean? Like, we don't even think about all that stuff. We just think about, okay, how do I get rid of belly fat? Why do I have no energy? Why do I have man boobs? Like, that's what we think about. Those are things that we think about on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And I tell these guys all the time, it's your testosterone levels. Go get them checked. Get them checked, right?
Yeah. It's interesting because women will use skin as a barometer for aging, and they're laser focused on their skin.
Right.
Guys are not particularly preoccupied with whether or not their face looks like an old catcher's mitt.
Right, exactly. Yeah, totally, which most guys are. Actually, it's like more manly if it looks a little bit more.
Right.
Manly, right? Yeah. We want to look rugged. We got that rugged.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's funny because I'll talk to men about testosterone, and they'll tell me, you know what? If they can get it up, the plumbing's fine, and therefore testosterone is fine.
Right.
The fact of the matter is that adult testosterone levels are not necessary for normal erections.
Right.
Okay. And so we can't use erectile function or erectile dysfunction to use as a barometer for hormonal health. In fact, a man can still be considered testosterone deficient and still get normal erections.
Right.
And so we simply can't use that as a marker for testosterone levels. We have to investigate further.
Yeah. The other thing that guys like to do, men like to do, is like if they're just big guys, like not even muscular, just big guys with big guts, because I see that all the time, but they're just big guys. They generally think, you know what, I've got a lot of testosterone, because society relates high testosterone to a few things. Society relates high testosterone to just big guys, whether they're, right. It doesn't matter how much belly fat they have. They just think if you're a big guy, you must have a lot of testosterone. And guys think that too. Like, I know a lot of big guys think they have a lot of testosterone. As soon as I tell them that, one of the biggest barometers of low testosterone is belly fat. If you got belly fat, then you have low testosterone, period. End of story.
Exactly.
And then also, like, you know, the guys who kind of walk in the room and they're like, yeah, you know, this, you know, all, you know, I'm taking control of this room or whatever it is. They've got that, like, that alpha kind of thing. Yeah. All of a sudden think that their testosterone level is high. But I always tell guys, listen, man, that alpha, that person who's alpha and has high testosterone is literally the quietest guy in the room. You know what I mean? Right. The one that's like looking to see what's going on and gives off that aura and will be there if needed, but is not the person that's coming in, you know, trying to take over the place. That's the beta guy who wants to play that they're alpha. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And so, you know what? A lot of, when I talk to men about testosterone, we talk about maximal output of testosterone, the maximum amount that they'll ever make. So the maximum amount of testosterone that a man will ever make is age dependent. So we know that testosterone peaks in a man's 20s, right? Which corresponds to when they would be, you know, evolutionarily speaking, having the most amount of children. So that's number one.
Right.
Number two is the maximum amount of testosterone is also dependent on genetics.
Okay.
And race.
Right. Ooh, okay. Right?
So for example, men of African, you know, who are African American, will produce the most amount of testosterone. Caucasian second, and then people of Asian descent will produce, in general, like if we look at population, will produce the least amount. But we also know that if when males were young, if there was any malnutrition or chronic infections, like I'm not talking about frequent colds or ear infections, we're talking more like parasitic infections or malaria and things like that.
That
will stunt their maximal amount of testosterone that they'll ever make in their lifetime.
Wow, okay.
Because it takes energy to support the hormonal development in males. So if energy is being diverted away from doing that and towards immune functions like fighting off infections, or if there is malnutrition, then there's not enough energy to actually support endocrine or hormone function, right?
Right. Okay. So let's start from the very beginning. There's a lot of things I want to talk about. You know, like I want to ask you about what are high testosterone levels, what are good testosterone levels to be kind of focusing on. I want to ask you things like testosterone to estrogen. I want to ask you, you know, that type of levels and how people can get them tested. Sure. But the very first thing we got to talk about is how it's actually created. Let's go through the process of how it's created from the pituitary gland to the testes and everywhere in between. Why don't you do that?
Yeah. So for just to start, so testosterone is actually begins to be produced in males when they're babies.
Right. Okay.
Between 4 and 7 months. And that's again, by design thing, to affect not only brain development, but also reproductive health. And it's basically certain cells in the testes that produce testosterone. You need stimulation from the pituitary gland, specifically with the hormone called luteinizing hormone, to stimulate testosterone production.
Okay.
And testosterone is made at the level of the testes from cholesterol. That's the building block. So when we think of cholesterol, we automatically think that this is a negative thing. This is the furthest from the truth. We need cholesterol to make our hormones.
Right.
Okay. And then testosterone, like I said earlier, is highest in adolescence and in early adulthood. And then as soon as a man turns about 30, that testosterone level begins to decline by about 1% every year.
Yeah.
What we have noticed in the last 20 years is an accelerated decline in testosterone. So, for example, when we compare men today to men 20 years ago, they have a 15% reduction in levels of hormones when we do age-matched men.
Right.
So okay. There's something going on there. And some of the theories include simply being overweight and underactive.
Yes.
To exposure to more hotter temperatures in general.
Ooh.
To even garments. So wearing tighter underwear, wearing tighter pants, which increase the temperature of the testes. These are some of the theories that we're trying to, you know, that we're formulating to account for this decline in testosterone. Parabens and environmental exposures to petroleum-based products, chemicals, pesticides, industrial residue is another one of those things that we have on our list to explain why we're seeing this decline in testosterone levels.
And what about like estrogen, like other hormones, like higher cortisol, higher estrogen, the foods that we're eating or not eating? Is that probably too, like in our diet?
Absolutely. So again, estrogen in men is neither good nor bad. It has everything to do with quantity. So
right, yes.
men will convert testosterone to estrogen for the purposes of libido,
right,
memory and cognitive function. So men need some estrogen. It's as when we start to convert too much testosterone to estrogen, that becomes a problem. One of the main reasons that we see in modern day men is the consumption of alcohol.
Yes.
Alcohol will accelerate the conversion of testosterone to estrogen.
100%. I tell my guys all the time, man, the beer is killing you. Like, literally feminizing you. Like, seriously,
exactly.
The thing that you think is making you more of a man, you
that's
know,
right.
Beer, I need my beer, you know, it's men drink beer, women drink, you know, the tequila,
the cocktails.
Yeah, the cocktails, right.
Yes.
But I always say, guys, I'm telling you right now, the more beer you drink, the more estrogen you're producing and the more belly fat you're going to have, but the lower testosterone you're going to have. That's the most important thing. Like the belly fat, once you start raising your testosterone, but doing the things that will help you raise your testosterone, the belly fat will automatically go away.
Exactly.
It will totally go away. When you do the things you're supposed to do, activity, food, getting, you know, staying away from foods, resting, sleep, whatever, all these things that we're probably going to be talking about in this and other episodes, all of that goes away.
Yeah. It's interesting because I also counsel a lot of couples who are trying to conceive.
Okay.
And I'm not just talking to the female patient. I'm also turning to the male patient and I ask, if you're having 5 drinks a week.
A week.
Gosh. 5 drinks a week has been shown to decrease your swimmer's ability to swim.
Right. That's sperm, and, guys.
Right? Yeah. It'll affect sperm quality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So 5 drinks or more kills fertility.
Totally. Right.
So we know for a fact that alcohol has a tremendous impact on men's reproductive health.
Right. Okay. Yes. And I mean, once we get 40, 50, 60, 70, I mean, I personally feel that drinking days are in your 20s.
Yeah.
Like that, those are drinking days. But yes, get it. But our days are done, guys. We don't need drinks to be social. Definitely, we don't need drinks to be social. We don't need drinks to self-medicate. We don't need drinks to make us feel better. We need all the other stuff to boost our testosterone will automatically make us feel better. To do, you know, spend time with your wife, do things that you like that's, you know, get more sun. Like if you can, you know, like doing things that make you feel good aside from drinking, which will make you feel like will depress you in the end. You know, just specifically all the negative side effects aside from, you know, just decreasing your testosterone. That's what's going to make you feel better, especially in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. You know, your grandchildren, your children, like all of that stuff, right?
Yeah, if you're reaching for alcohol on a regular basis,
there's something going on.
There's something going on.
Yeah, right? for sure. Okay, yeah. So let's keep going. So we were talking about the natural decline in testosterone, right?
Yeah.
And how it's made.
Yeah. And so when I work with my male patients,
yeah,
we screen for these types of things. So I will right away, I'm always looking to do a baseline testosterone level, particularly if men are abusing alcohol or if there's some kind of underlying liver disease.
Right.
If there's any history of not just personal diabetes, but a family history of diabetes, because if there is, then we need to be looking up the insulin pathway, right? Okay. Because insulin will also suppress the body's ability to make testosterone.
Right.
If you've ever, you know, if a man is presenting with low libido, we definitely want to be checking that. Any kind of medications. So, for example, heartburn medication like Zantac.
Right.
Which people pop fairly regularly.
Okay.
Can affect testosterone levels.
Prednisone, which I took.
Prednisone, exactly. Yeah.
9 months.
Yeah. Things like even cannabis, so smoking marijuana. So it's gotten, you know, with the change in
the laws here.
In Canada. But smoking marijuana will have a direct impact on your body's ability to make testosterone. And that happens at the level of the brain hormones, right?
Yeah.
And then so common are testicular conditions. Like, I don't know if you've ever heard of what a varicocele is.
No.
So a varicocele is basically varicose veins in the testes.
Ooh.
Incredibly common.
We have those?
What's that?
We have those? I know varicose veins, like women have them in their legs and stuff.
So that's usually genetic. So it has a lot to do with just how well your valves are working in your circulatory system. But you can get varicose veins in your testes. So the best way to check for that. So it's interesting because varicose veins are all varicoceles in men are often found when a couple is undergoing a fertility assessment. So it's found by accident.
Right.
But otherwise you'd have to be looking for it. So you'd have to do a physical exam to see what's going on, but it's very easy to treat. And as soon as varicoceles are corrected, so basically like varicose vein surgery for your testes, testosterone bounces right back up.
Okay. All right. Wow, that's huge.
Very common, and that's why men should be checking all the time.
All the time, yes, for sure. Yeah, that's huge. Okay, so we know testosterone starts up in the brain, pituitary, goes down through the using luteinizing hormones,
all the
way down to your
testes,
and then it needs a cholesterol is the precursor. It needs cholesterol, guys. So there's good cholesterol and bad cholesterol, but it needs the good cholesterol and cholesterol in order to produce. When is it getting produced the most? Is it in the morning? Is it in the afternoon? Is it at night? When is testosterone starting that production?
So the way that testosterone is secreted throughout the day is that it starts to peak while you're sleeping.
Okay,
it'll start peaking around 5, 6, 7 a.m.
Right.
Okay, and then it goes down over the course of the day, but it'll have peaks every 90 minutes.
Okay.
Okay, so there's that pulsatile pattern to testosterone. Right. It's crucial when a man is having his testosterone levels checked.
Yes.
That they be checked at the same time every time.
Right.
So it's the time of the day. So you never test testosterone in the afternoon because you will get a falsely low reading. You want to be doing it first thing in the morning between the hours of 7 and 9.
Which all makes sense, because when I went to get my testosterone levels checked, my blood taken and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It was done in the morning.
That's right.
I didn't even think about that, but it was done first thing in the morning.
It has to be done in the morning. So I've had patients who, you know, who've come in with lab work and I can see the timestamp and it was done at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, we have to toss this number out.
Right.
Okay. The other thing is that a one-time testosterone reading, if it comes back low, should be repeated. We cannot make a diagnosis of low testosterone off of one reading because if a man has had 5 hours or less of sleep,
right,
over the course of 1 week, that will affect his testosterone levels.
Okay.
And so if I have a patient come back and his testosterone levels are low, I have him repeat that after 30 days.
Okay.
And then we get a better sense of whether or not that is a true lower end of normal and we should be looking at it a bit more closely, or if it was just a one-off that one time.
Excellent. Okay. So those are good. That's good. Very good to know. Okay. Next thing is,
what we should be testing.
Yeah, let's go. Right? So yeah, let's, what should we be testing? Exactly.
So for any man who wants to do a complete hormonal workup, he should be testing total testosterone.
Yeah.
free testosterone.
Yes.
And we're going to go through these in a second. Sex hormone binding globulin.
Yes.
Okay. The lab can then calculate what we call bioavailable testosterone.
Okay.
Things like insulin and glucose.
Mm-hmm.
Thyroid function.
Right.
Vitamin D.
Right.
Right. And then the stress hormone cortisol.
Right. Okay. What about estrogen?
Estrogen. Sorry, I missed that one as well. We will do estrogen as well. Yes. Estradiol.
Okay. So let's go through estradiol. Yeah. So let's, are you going to go through these?
Yeah. So total testosterone.
Yes.
Gives us an overall total testosterone production.
Okay.
Okay. Now what we have to understand is that total testosterone is not all of the testosterone that's being circulated in your body having affecting any kind of change on cells.
Okay.
You've got total testosterone, but a fraction of it is bound up to protein.
Right, right.
Okay.
Yes.
And then there's a small fraction of it that is free circulating and interacting with cells of your body.
Right. And it's a free, that's one we want.
Free is the one that we want. Because free is what is going to have, it's going to tell us about what's going on with respect to libido and cognitive function, so on and so forth. However, total testosterone tells us if it happens to be low or low normal, we want to understand why that's normal. Because a man can still have low total testosterone and normal free, but we want to understand why his total output is low.
Okay.
And that's why we're talking about thyroid function and estrogen and that sort of thing.
Okay.
Okay. So your testosterone is bound up to something called sex hormone binding globulin.
Yes.
Which essentially takes testosterone out of circulation. It's not available to do any kind of meaningful work.
That's the bad stuff, guys.
That's the bad stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, sex hormone binding globulin.
Yeah, SHBG.
BG, exactly.
Perfect, okay.
Okay, so when a man's estrogen is higher, his sex hormone binding globulin is higher, meaning it's binding up more testosterone, making less free testosterone available to impact cells in the body.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So guys, just listen. SHBG. Think about that, because a lot of times I write articles or I talk about that specific hormone being bad. Like, and you know, depending on what diet you're on, depending on things that you're doing, I'll always say that the SHBG increases, which stunts your testosterone. And so I want you guys to remember that. So when you read that, you're like, oh shit, this is the bad hormone. Like, this is a bad type of testosterone. This is the one that we don't want high. We want it low.
That's right.
Okay.
Alcohol will drive sex hormone binding globulin up.
Yes. Okay. 1,000,000%.
So you can have the best total testosterone level in the world.
Yes.
If your sex hormone binding globulin is high because of alcohol, it's as though you don't have any testosterone.
100%. Yes. Okay. I love it. Vegans, listen to me, because when I talk about vegan diets and vegetarian diets, there's studies out there. This is what the vegans and vegetarians come at me with when I talk about how bad this diet is for. It's very, very hard to produce free testosterone when you're using vegetarian diet. You're just not getting the animal hormones that you need, the animal fats and everything else that you need to help boost testosterone. So when I come at them with that, they always come back at me with this, well, there's a study out there that shows that on vegan and vegetarian diets, your total testosterone levels are high or can be just the same. And I'm like, yeah, but if you look, it's the SHBG that's high. So it doesn't matter. Yeah, you're it's telling you that your total testosterone may be okay, but actually your
it's a tough one. I know.
That's also high. So you're actually don't have any, your free testosterone is super, super low. So you're it's just a mask. Anyway,
exactly. So these are the things that we can measure in the bloodstream and use that for an assessment and proper treatment plan. Right. And that's why we can't just be looking at testosterone on its own.
Right.
We have to look at it in context with all of these other markers.
Right. So the free testosterone, you said that's the good stuff, right?
That's the good stuff. So free testosterone and testosterone that's actually bound to albumin, which is another protein found in the body, that fraction makes up the bioavailable testosterone.
Okay. And that's the one that we want, the bioavailable
testosterone. So free testosterone only tells you so much. It's the bioavailable fraction that will tell us, you know, where are you falling within range? Are you 95th percentile of the range or are you in 5th percentile of the range?
Right. Okay. What about all of the, so the insulin, the glucose, thyroid, where does all that come into play?
Yes. So we know that insulin has a direct impact on testosterone level. So when a man's insulin is high, he is what we call insulin resistant. And insulin resistance precedes diabetes diagnosis by about 6 to 8 years.
Really?
Okay. So it takes actually several years for glucose, which we're often told that is normal in our lab work.
Yeah.
It'll be normal for a long time while under the surface, insulin is starting to rise.
Rise, right, exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Can I take a pause?
You're on, sister. Okay.
So when we're testing fasting insulin, we're basically looking to evaluate if there's any insulin resistance. But even before we've done that, there are certain signs and symptoms that could lead us to that conclusion. So things like constipation, craving for sweets. I've got a lot of men who are just constantly craving for carbs, something sweet at the end of the day. Some men may actually experience hot flashes.
Yeah. I know how that feels.
So, yeah. Right.
Well, you taking prednisone? Oh my God. Every day.
You experience that, huh?
Oh yeah. I'd be soaking wet. So I'd be like, what the hell's going on? Until I realize it's the prednisone, which is causing my hormones to react all over.
Be completely out of whack. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
Low blood sugar. So hypoglycemia. So individuals who experience like a drop in blood sugar could be the result of dumping too much insulin into the bloodstream, because insulin is what has cells taking up glucose.
Right.
So a lot of insulin will have a lot of glucose taken out of the circulation, which results in low blood sugar.
Right.
Very, very interesting, because, and we're going to talk about sleep in a second, but there is something called nocturnal or nighttime hypoglycemia, where if you had a really carbohydrate rich meal at dinner, which has you producing a lot of insulin, and then that large insulin dose drops your blood sugar, you may actually be having difficulty falling or remaining asleep because your blood sugar is too low.
Too low. Right.
Okay.
And that, when you say dinner, what time would that be? Like, because I tell my guys, you know, it's a balanced meal, right? You got to have carbs, proteins, fats, and vegetables or fruits in every single meal, whether it's two meals a day or three meals a day. Mm-hmm. And generally speaking, most of the guys I find that are getting the best results on using the 30-day challenge or my Over 40 Alpha program are usually eating like at 6 o'clock. After 6 or 6:37, then not many people are eating unless they're on shift work or they worked out late or whatever. But what's that time? And when you say lots of carbs, you're talking like a massive amount of carbs.
We're talking about like a bowl of pasta.
Okay, fine. Right? Yeah, we don't eat pasta. So let's
Or they're, you know, they failed to plan, so they've planned to fail and they're grabbing pizza.
Yeah, huge.
Right, which is it's all dough.
Okay, right? Cool. So, okay, perfect.
But I do encourage my male patients, particularly when I'm speaking to them about, you know, intermittent fasting.
Yes, totally.
Within a tighter window of time, I really don't want them, if they can help it, eating past 7 p.m.
Yeah, 100%.
Or you know, 4 hours before bedtime.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? Because, I mean, it's difficult to digest. Or it's difficult to fall asleep if much of your energy is going to digestion, for starters. Totally.
Yeah.
And secondly, it will play with your hormones.
Cool. That's great. Okay. I like that.
Okay.
Okay. So now let's go to glucose and thyroid.
Yeah. So we've talked about glucose. So basically just making sure that they're not having a carbohydrate-rich meal too close to dinner, because that will cause a low blood sugar. So here, because what I want to speak about the sleep is, they'll you know, they'll take sleep medication thinking that they are unable to fall asleep on their own, when in fact it's a hormone issue. Totally. That it's just, that's not being investigated. So right. that's where I just wanted to end with that.
Yeah.
In terms of thyroid, that should be checked regularly, because too high of a thyroid, so hyperthyroidism will raise sex hormone binding globulin, okay. which will reduce the amount of bioavailable testosterone
right.
in the body. Yeah. Hypothyroidism slows things down. So a man may think that he has testosterone levels when in fact his thyroid function is low, and therefore metabolism in general has come to
a halt. Or slowly. So hyper, guys, means lots.
Yes.
Hypo means low, just because sometimes people...
That's right.
Hyperthyroidism means too much. Hypo means too low.
Exactly.
That's really good. Okay, so now let's move to cortisol, because we know that this is a big one, right? This is a big hormone that's really high in many people, not just men, just a lot of people in general, right?
Yeah. So first of all, cortisol has also gotten a bad rap.
Yeah.
Without cortisol, we can't survive.
Right. Exactly.
Right. So we need a little bit of cortisol to keep us alive and kicking. Right. So cortisol follows the exact same secretion pattern as testosterone. So right. it will peak 5, 6, 7 a.m.
Right.
And the cortisol peak is designed to wake you up.
Yes.
And then as the day goes on, your cortisol levels come down.
Right.
Okay.
You
are supposed to come down.
Yeah.
Okay. So cortisol is, at any other time of the day besides the morning, is secreted in response to stress.
Right.
And that is designed to get you ready for fighting or fleeing, except right. that there's no tiger or bear rustling in the woods. It's your boss, it's traffic, it's your right. kids, it's yes. deadlines, right? Yeah. But your brain does not distinguish between the two.
Right.
Okay. And so it'll still secrete cortisol in response to your boss or, you know, hounding you or
kids,
deadlines. Exactly. And so cortisol at the level of the brain will reduce the amount of, remember that hormone I mentioned, luteinizing hormone?
Yes.
Cortisol will reduce the secretion of luteinizing hormone.
Right.
So less LH means less testosterone being yeah. produced.
Right.
Cortisol will also affect the testes' ability to make testosterone. So it's a double whammy.
Yeah.
At the level of the brain, at the level of the testes, we have a reduced testosterone output.
Totally. And let's throw the triple play in there with the belly fat. Because for the guys, that's one of their biggest issues. Whether they're yes. skinny fat, whether they're obese, whether they're fat, it's the belly fat.
Yes.
And, you know, high cortisol levels will definitely be a major factor. And also, like we talked about estrogen, but also high cortisol levels will also be.
That's right. So the distinction is, you know, cortisol will be that front belly fat.
Yes.
Insulin will be your love handles.
Right. Beautiful.
Right. And yeah. it's actually, I have to say, it's quite rare to see one or the other. They often go hand in hand.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so sleep is crucial for bringing that cortisol down, stress reduction, whatever that looks like for you.
Right.
Whether it's, you know, meditation,
yeah.
reading, spending time with family, providing your family doesn't stress you out.
Right, exactly.
Exercise. So, for yeah. example, and I'm sure you speak to your clients about this all the time, but cardio over like long periods of time elevates cortisol.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And so, yeah. so if you're starting off, if your baseline level of cortisol is high,
yeah.
and you decide, you know what, I'm going to take up long distance running.
Yeah.
We can always almost bet that in a few weeks you will have probably gained belly fat yes. rather than having lost belly fat.
100%. I tell these guys 100%. In fact, I will be shooting a video, but a YouTube video, massive video where I say, you know, the three worst workouts for guys over 40, 50, 60, you know, the CrossFit stuff, which is really high in like, you know, joint unfriendly. You know, the like bodybuilding style workouts, which is too much volume on your muscles. And the biggest one is the long state cardio. Like most guys will go on the on the elliptical or the treadmill or the bike or the stair climber for like an hour or 45 minutes at a very moderate pace, thinking that, okay, this is what it is. But like you just said, it's totally raising the cortisol. That's what I tell them. Your cortisol levels are actually increasing.
Exactly.
And that's why I see when I go to the gym, the guys who have been on that treadmill or elliptical, like for 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, and they look exactly the same.
That's right.
Like at first they may lose that, whatever, but then it's the same.
Yeah. You don't see any budging in body composition.
Right.
Yeah. So the only type of cardio that, you know, I suggest in this situation is walking.
Yep.
And then weight training, but not the heavy weights.
No.
The moderate weights.
Yeah.
And HIIT.
Yeah, like metabolic, like exact guys, exactly what you're doing in my programs. Metabolic training, short, 30 minutes, 20 minutes, 15 minutes using resistance or your body weight, joint friendly, you know, 45 seconds or 30 seconds of one exercise, 20 or 30 seconds rest back and forth. Like, you know what I mean? So short metabolic. Yeah. So you're in that range where your testosterone levels and growth hormones are being, you know, secreted and your cortisol levels aren't at that point where it's like, they're still not up. They're not high. It's like after the 30-minute mark, if you're going longer than 30 minutes, then that's when that cortisol starts to say,
agreed. Yeah.
My turn, and let's push the other stuff down.
Exactly. So I get people, you know, I get my male patients to, if they're taking public transit, to get off two stations earlier and walk the rest of the way.
Right.
And if they work on the second or third floor to, you know,
take the stairs,
forego the elevator and take the stairs. And there's your cardio.
Yeah. And people. That's it. Yeah. I mean, how many times have we heard that, right? Like that's what you need to, like, you know, just those little changes in your life that way, like little things where you do that will make a massive difference. Like,
that's right.
Plus all the other things that you do, but just, if you were just to start with that.
Yeah. Except that everyone wants to go 0 to 100.
I know. It's crazy.
And everyone thinks that 100 is so good, right?
I have to pull my guys back all the time. Like, guys, look, we're only doing 3 days a week. It's like, what? Three? That's it? Can I add another workout in the morning? Can I add, you know, two more? I'm like, no, you can't.
Yeah.
We need recovery and we need sleep and we need to, this needs to be sustainable. Like, you need to be able to do this for a year. So if you think you could do 5-6 workouts a day, twice a day for a full year without breaking or without overtraining or without getting injured, you can't. So let's rewind the mindset and go back. Like, people think I'm in the gym every day. Like, no, four days. That's the most. If I'm in there, like if I'm working out more than 4 days a week, then it's either I'm like getting prepared for like a shoot or something or that's it. Like, I know. It's the time that I recover that I get the best results. 100%.
Yeah. More is not better. And I see this Monday mornings after, you know, my weekend warriors.
Yeah,
they go hard Saturday and Sunday, and then they come limping into my office Monday morning.
poor guys. Yeah. Guys, so this is good. This is all great information. Okay, so let me ask you a question about the amount of testosterone. So there's when you go get your testosterone tested or use a testing kit, there's two readings you get. One is like from 0 to 38 or something, or 28, and then the other one is that like up, like I guess it's 1,000 is the highest.
Yeah.
What's the difference between those two?
So your total testosterone, like when I'm ordering it in lab work, it'll be within the range of 8 to about 30 nanomoles per liter.
Nanomoles per liter.
Nanomoles per liter.
A/L.
Yes. And so depending on where you are age-wise, we expect you to be within a window or sub-range of that range.
Yes.
Right? So for men who are, you know, 35 to 39, 40 to 44,
right,
I definitely want them to be in the high teens.
Okay.
Right? So remember, if the range is 8 to 30, if you're 40 and above, I want you to be definitely in the high teens, if still not in the low
20s. Yeah, 100%. Yes.
Right? And so, and if you're not, it's not about becoming a candidate for testosterone replacement therapy. Absolutely not.
No.
It's about going to the drawing board and seeing, what are you eating? when are you eating?
Yes.
What kind of exercise are you engaged in? And what are the other hormones telling us?
Right, exactly.
So, and you know, we talked about this a little bit earlier, but sleep is of utmost importance. There is so much success that you're going to get in your waking hours if you're not sleeping 100%.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so like I mentioned earlier, 5 hours of sleep for 8 consecutive hours drops your testosterone by 15%.
Right, right.
Okay, so remember how I was saying there's been a decline in total levels of testosterone in men today compared to 20 years ago?
Yeah.
We're also sleeping less. We are exposed to a lot more artificial light. So is that one of the culprits? We're on our phones, right? Yeah. We use our phones to fall asleep, right? And then it's the first thing that we look at when we wake up in the morning.
My wife. Yeah. That's 100%.
So if you are getting, 5 hours, I think is grossly insufficient. If you're getting six hours of uninterrupted sleep, there's a problem.
Totally. 100%. Seven to nine, guys. Seven to nine.
Seven to nine.
Okay, let me just talk on that 8 to 30, because I like to my whole thing is I want that to be as high as possible at 60. Right. Like when I'm 60, I still want to be in the 20s. Like I don't want to be satisfied with. You know, because when I got my first readings, when I was taking prednisone, I got my first readings and it was like 10 or 12 or 11 or something. But that's because I was on prednisone and, you know, I just finished having, you know, my surgery.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, it's normal. And I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's not normal. Like, there's no way. Like, it is normal because there is that range, right, where they say from like 8 to 30 is normal.
Right.
Or something, right? It's like, what do you mean? What do you mean 8 to 30 is normal? Like, come on, guys. Like, give me like, let's get a little bit tighter with that. But that's just the general. So some guys who get 9 or 10, their doctor or the doctor's assistant that's calling you, telling you this, mm-hmm. will be like, she's like, oh yeah, you're 12 or whatever, 11. So you're normal. And then hung up. And I'm like, there's no way that's normal. Like I looked, I'm like going online. Like no way in hell that, you know, 19 points away is normal. Right? And I don't feel normal. So when I got it done the next time though, because I'd been starting to do all, even though I was on prednisone, I was doing all of what I was doing, like exercising and the foods I was eating and the sleep, like I was doing everything to boost my testosterone naturally.
Yes.
So that when I stopped taking prednisone, my testosterone levels like went like through the roof. My doctor was like, what the F is going on here? It's like in the almost to reach 40s, probably even higher than that. It was massive. It was massive.
Incredible. Yeah.
And but I just think that like we should always be striving to get the highest we can. Like if we're always striving in our 20s, I think that's good. Like no matter what age it is. It's so funny because there was one guy, his name is Mike G. I won't give him the last name, but big up to Mike G, who was doing my program. And he didn't do the workouts because he's a jiu-jitsu guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so every year he goes to get his testosterone checked every single year. And this year he came back. He's like, man, I don't know. And he was only following nutrition. My nutrition knows it. And he was just like, man, Funk's nutrition is on point. For the first time ever, my testosterone levels went up like 6 points, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And the only change I did was the nutrition.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And obviously with that, he just slept better. But, you know, it was like he was still rolling. He's 50 years old. So he just turned 50. His body's in amazing shape through his jiu-jitsu and whatever. But the nutrition portion just jacked up his testosterone. I think mm-hmm. it actually went up 12. But 12 I can't.
Points?
Or maybe it was 8 or 5 or something. You know, I got to go back and look. I posted it. Because he gave me both readings. Oh, no, 12%. That's what it was.
Okay.
Went up 12% on both readings, like the one for 1,000 or whatever, and then this one. So it went up, and he was just like, "That's unbelievable for that to happen in such a short period of time."
Yeah.
At the age of 50, with only making nutrition change, huge.
Phenomenal. And that's why I encourage my male patients who are feeling well.
Yeah.
To get a baseline level of their total testosterone.
Yeah.
And then we use that as a measuring stick for future testosterone levels.
Okay.
Right? Because if you feel well, incredibly well at a level of 22 nanomoles per liter.
Yeah.
And then in 5 years, we repeated and you've come down to 12. So you've gone down by 10 points.
Wow.
Then we know that your maximal amount is 22, given there's been no, you know, injuries, no surgeries, no anything that could have injured the tissue that would be responsible for making testosterone. And we would go at it from a dietary lifestyle and supplement standpoint to
totally.
Get that up. Because now we've got up to 10 points that we can work with.
Right, exactly. That's huge. Okay, so what is the other one of 1,000? Is it 1,000? So, what is the other reading?
It will depend on every lab. Okay. But what you're referring to is free testosterone.
Okay, that's what I'm referring to.
So that one will be in the range of, depending on lab, like 150 to 900.
Right, okay.
Sometimes it'll be, you know, 100 to 600. So it really depends on the lab.
Okay.
That's right.
And of course, when you're younger, like in your 20s, that's like in the 800 range, or like it's really high.
Of course.
It's like way, it's like peaking.
That's right. And you want it to peak, right? When we're talking about, you know, having children,
totally.
Peak age, it makes sense. That would be an evolutionary design.
Yeah. And I also, again, tell these guys, because there's people who get that checked, I always say you want to still be in the 800s if you can. I mean, we're always striving to get high, whether to be at the highest point. You may not reach it, but if you do everything in your lifestyle to change, not TRT, but in your lifestyle change, then obviously it's going to be as high as possible. Don't just settle.
Exactly. Right. And then we want to look at, so if the free testosterone is low, but total testosterone is fine, then we want to be looking at that sex hormone binding globulin that could be knocking testosterone out of the circulation.
Yeah.
If that's fine, then maybe we need to be asking ourselves, is testosterone being converted to estrogen?
Right. Yes.
Right. So zinc deficient states will promote the conversion of testosterone to estrogen.
Right.
Alcohol will promote the conversion of testosterone to estrogen.
Right.
Insulin will promote the conversion of testosterone to estrogen. So we want to understand exactly what's going on there.
Huge. Okay. So now that we understand testosterone, we understand what type of testosterone we should be looking at. We understand what type of testosterone we should be staying away from. We understand the readings that we should be getting when we do get them. There are a couple of ways now most of my guys in the US specifically don't have the money to go get that done, because it costs a lot of money to get it done at your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the reason why a lot of these guys, there's many reasons, but one of the major reasons when it comes to testosterone is it's just too expensive for them to go get it checked.
Right.
It's also, and then also guys are like, oh, I don't need to go to the doctor. But I start telling my guys from today, from the day you meet me, the first thing you should do is get your testosterone levels checked. The second thing you should do at that same thing is get a physical. Like, we need to start, instead of staying away from the doctor and being afraid of the doctor, or I don't need a doctor, we got to say, okay, this is where I'm at right now. Now let's create a plan to fix things, to get things better, to reverse things that we can. Because you can reverse and fix low testosterone. You can fix all of this stuff naturally through nutrition, exercise, supplementation, that sort of thing. But you don't know if people are just going at what they think and what they, you know what I mean? They don't know. And the only way you're going to know is you have to go get it checked. We need hard data, right?
That's right. That's right. So we want to dispel myths. So we want to be able to filter fact from fiction. So for example, I have a lot of patients who think that their genes create health problems and disease.
Yeah.
Genes don't do that. The environment will create a type of situation where disease, if coded by the genes, will result in problems. Okay.
Right.
So it's not fixed. It's actually a very dynamic process. That's
right.
Number one. So we really want to dispel that myth.
Yeah.
That because you have a certain genetic destiny that you will be developing certain types of disease. That's number one.
Right.
Number two, you want to be working with a healthcare provider who is solutions oriented.
Yes.
Okay. I think that a lot of anxiety that comes from male patients is, I'm going to get some bad news and there's nothing that I'm going to be able to do about it.
Exactly.
That too is furthest from the truth. We work with what we got and we maximize what we do have control over.
Exactly. 100%. And it's a process. It's not going to happen in a month. It's not going to happen in 2 months. It's going to, I always say, go a full year. Let's give it a full year. Change your lifestyle, change everything you're doing, and then continue to get it checked. Every year you got to be going to the doctor and getting this checked. Like every single year from today till the day you die, you need to be going to your doctor every single year.
Yes.
What's going on with my body? Let's figure things out. And most of the times your doctor probably, like your GP I'm talking about, I'm not talking about specialists, but your GP is probably just going to, okay, this is where you're at. You know, here's some pills. Here you go. Just, you know, they're not really solution-based because they got so many other patients. Like they can't be specific, unfortunately, right? Yes. Many GPs I'm talking about, just your,
yes, you know. And if I may add to that, there is an assumption in the sort of public health realm that a patient will not take the necessary steps to make dietary and lifestyle changes.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And although that seems like, why would they think that? It's safer to assume that the patient will not exercise.
Right.
Than to assume that the patient will exercise.
Right. Right. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Because then you are mitigating any risks of cardiovascular events, diabetes, complications from diabetes, so on and so forth. So it's safer to assume that patient will do nothing.
Yeah.
And therefore this pill intervention is better than not taking the pill.
Right. So that's what that's what your doctors are thinking, right?
It's a safe assumption. And it's a safe assumption because
that's what happens.
Exactly. And if we're not giving male patients solutions, then they will do nothing.
Right. But exactly.
What's really interesting about the male brain is that they're very quick to move from idea to action.
Yes. 100%.
So you just need to tell them what to do and they will do it. That's why my most compliant patients, sorry, ladies, if there are any ladies listening, my male patients are the ones who, you know, you give them a bone and they run with it.
You know what? I can't agree with you more. I'm seeing that now that I've really focused just on men, over 40, 50, 60, whatever. I'm seeing that, like I have a 30-day challenge going on right now. And I've got a Facebook group where they're all in there. And like, even to this day, like this is we're going on the end of week number 3. So it's a 30-day challenge. And I went into the Facebook group before we got on this call. And one of the things I asked them today was, what are the things that you learned? Mm-hmm. Right? Post them in there. Mm-hmm. Not just even before that, like every day they're posting like a picture of them after they finish the workout. Like that's their workout, you know, Wild Style Wednesday workout done, you know, Total Body Thursday workout done. They're all sweaty, which is amazing. So you know that's action based already. 3 weeks in and they're still action based. But today when I asked that question this morning, the flood of what they've learned is incredible because I know that, okay, these guys are learning. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they're learning means they're learning. Like that means that, okay, I'm aware of all of this stuff now.
Yeah.
I mean, the things that I've learned, I learned that I need to get sleep, more sleep in order for this to happen. I learned that I need to drink more water in order for this to happen. It's like, that's exactly what we want. So now we continue to change the behavior. Once you're aware of it, then it's easy for you to change the behavior.
Exactly.
And you're right. These guys are like, there's 700 guys in this last challenge. I think pretty much all of them, if not, you know, maybe there's maybe 50 or 60 that aren't doing anything because, you know, that's just the way it is, are doing something. Like, it's insane.
Yes.
It's amazing.
We need to be asking, what are they eating?
Yeah.
When are they exercising? What exercise are they doing? What supplements are they taking? What kind of mental resilience support do they have? What are they thinking? Who's supporting them? And I think men are really craving that.
Yes.
The fact of the matter is that women tend to just, you know, get together and chat and share.
Totally. Yeah.
And rely on that support of other women. Mm. It doesn't come as easily for men for a slew of reasons.
Totally.
But they're really craving it. Just I want to share and I want you to tell me what to do.
And that's what happens in our Facebook group, 100%, literally every single day, because I tell them this is a safe place. So you guys can come in here and talk to each other and know that you're not going to get judged. You're all on the same journey. You're all going to help each other. So you don't, I'm going to help you, you know, so you don't have to worry. Like, this is our sewing circle. You know what I mean? This is, exactly. This is our male sewing circle. Let's, like, we need this, guys. We're not going to go to our wives or our girlfriends or even our buddies who aren't part of this, because our buddies are just going to, are going to just dismiss it. Like, I know that when I go to talk to my guy friends, I never ask them I never say, so how's your wife? I never say, so how are your kids? I never say, so how's your health? I never say any of those. It's like, oh, so, you know, you see the game, or, you know, like, you know, it's guy talk. That guy talk is not asking people about their wives and their relationship. We don't care about that. We just want to talk to our buddies and like, you know, go back and forth and rev, you know, like, you know, just rib each other. And that's what guys want to do when they talk to each other.
Right.
But we keep in all the other stuff that we actually should be talking about, and what our feelings are and things that we're struggling with. And hey, man, I need help with this. And, you know, my kid is doing this, or, you know, I'm having struggling with this. And, you know, I believe that having this group is really helping a lot of men outside of their health, you know, mentally, the fact that they get to share, the fact that they get to ask questions, the fact that people jump on and help them. Like, it's insane. Yeah. Man. I've never seen anything like that before.
And then there's the added element of accountability.
Yes, exactly.
I was told to do something. Now I have to show up and I have to tell them that I've done it.
Yes. And which is what they're doing. Yes.
And someone cares. Someone's going to ask me, you know, what I'm eating, how much I'm sleeping, if I'm exercising.
Yeah.
And I want to, you know, and you're part of something bigger.
Yeah. It's huge. It's amazing. Yeah. So I'm happy you said that. And that's, that's part of this. So, let's talk about some of the ways so when you find that one of your clients, one of your patients are low in testosterone, what are some of the things you tell them to do? You say that's a natural lifestyle, right? Not a natural change. So what are the things that you'll throw at them?
So I'll tell you, the 75% of the time, it's the result of being overweight. So a body mass index of greater than 27.
Yep.
And we're not talking about those lean guys whose BMI is thrown off because of all muscle mass. We're talking about belly fat, right?
Yes, yes.
Because a BMI of greater than 27 will affect your sleep. Right. And then the sleep affects the testosterone, right? So it's all linked. So we then ask, you know, are you sleeping at least 6, if not 7 to 9 hours of uninterrupted sleep? That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, if insulin is high, right, and we measure that, then I have them doing intermittent fasting.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in another episode, 100%.
We'll talk about that in another episode. I put them on zinc.
Yeah, for sure.
Right, independent of blood levels, I put them on zinc. I check their vitamin D status, because low vitamin D equals low testosterone.
100%.
Optimal vitamin D equals optimal testosterone. So we got to be measuring for that.
Yeah.
Exercise. I want them to be doing some kind of weight training. If you know, they can't commit to 4 times per week because we're taking baby steps.
Right.
1 time per week.
Right. Okay.
I have them committing to. And then they come back to me shortly after and we check that off. You've done it once a week. Can we incorporate twice a week?
Right. Excellent.
Right. We have them increase their protein intake. So many men, truthfully, I have them skipping breakfast altogether, and then lunchtime they're trying to be really good and they'll get themselves a salad, and most of their protein is usually coming at dinner time.
Right.
We need to have protein distributed evenly throughout the day.
100%.
Right. So usually we make a calculation of bare bones of 1.2 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight.
Yeah.
Right, that they should be getting. Totally. Fish oil is crucial. The omega-3 fatty acids are crucial for 100%. Production and transmission of hormones. So those are some of the things that I have them start on. And then some kind of stress reduction, right? Yeah. We talked about cortisol and its impact on testosterone.
Yeah.
What are they doing for self-care? What are they doing for, you know, to reduce that stress? And it's whatever works for them, whether they're willing to join a meditation group. Great. If they're willing to do yoga, great.
Yes.
If they're part of a men's support group. It's interesting because there are different types of, you know, retreats and group support things that are happening. And there are certain organizations that will actually even check your baseline salivary cortisol levels before and after a one-hour support group session.
You
see a reduction in cortisol after 1 hour.
Amazing.
Where you're not even sharing. You're just listening there. To people, and you're realizing, oh, I'm like that. I'm not alone
in
what I'm challenged with.
Right? I actually go to meetings for something else every night.
Yeah.
And I find that it's incredible for me, you know, like I know that my cortisol levels are low. I know that even when I don't share or do anything, it's an incredible stress relieving event,
mm-hmm. right?
Which is incredible. And so, yeah, again, that's just that's amazing.
Yeah, church or anything faith-based, yes. If that's inspiring you, if that's making you, you know, strive towards something bigger and that's what gets you excited, then that's what you should be pursuing.
Totally, totally. Yes. Yes. What? Okay. Yes. What was I going to say? I was going to say something about supplement. No. Okay. One last thing, right? Last thing, I think. Testosterone kits. So, you know, that's one of the things that I propose because not everyone can get to their doctor or whatever. And so I have a testosterone kit that they can spit. Takes a big amount of a couple of days to get enough salads, right?
Yeah.
It takes a while, right? Like you gotta fill this bad boy up, and then you gotta send it off, and then it takes a couple of weeks or a month or whatever it is to get
the
results back or whatever. But everyone after listening to this podcast episode should be looking to get their testosterone levels fixed. If you live in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go see you.
Yes, absolutely.
Where are they going to see you?
Well Pharmacy and Clinic. We're located at 85 Church Street, and you can email me directly at dominica@yourwealth.ca.
Right.
We'll get you started.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll have links in this, but that's the first thing. So to 100%, like that's the very first thing you need to do. Because once we get there, then you know, okay, here are the things that you can do. I mean, of course, I have a program that's all we talk about and that's all we are focused on. Is doing the things to help you boost your testosterone levels, keep the other hormones down. But you know, that's besides the point. It's just now getting a solution to whatever, you know, you have, right?
So salivary hormone testing is wonderful because it's testing for that free fraction.
Right.
That free testosterone fraction that we can, you know, you can work with that. You can create, you know, an assessment and treatment plan based on salivary results for hormones, right?
And you did say like getting your hormones tested at the same time, but when it comes to saliva thing, you're just spitting
that, right? You're just spitting. No, that's a different, because saliva is not under pulsatile control,
right?
So it's a different process altogether,
right? What else do you want to say about testosterone? You got it. We got it, eh? I think we got it.
Covered a lot.
Guys, we know, like, we don't want to overwhelm you, but we want to make sure that you understand that you got to get your testosterone checked. That's number one. And you got to understand that it's whatever your level you're at now, we can increase it naturally.
Exactly.
100%. So that's good. So don't fret. And you always want to get I would love to have the same testosterone levels I had when I was in my 20s. Like, that's literally what, if you have that mindset, then you're almost like, it's so funny. When I started this whole process, I became testosterone obsessed. Like I was literally obsessed with like the foods I ate, the foods that, okay. I would tell my wife, oh no, I can't have that. Cause that'll increase my testosterone or that'll decrease my testosterone. Oh no. These things. Yeah. Yeah. Cacao. Oh yeah. Those are great for testosterone. Oh, mangoes. Yeah. They're great. Like she would be like, you should shut up about the testosterone. Oh no, I need 7 to 9 hours sleep. No, I don't. I'm not going to look at my phone before I go to bed. Like, I was so obsessed, but it worked. 100% worked.
No.
It worked. My levels just fucking blew up.
Yeah. No, guys need to ask themselves, you know, how in this moment, how am I feeling?
Yeah.
Am I feeling good? Do I want to feel great?
Yes.
You know, because if you feel great, then you're doing everything right.
Right.
But if you're feeling anything but great, then there's room for improvement.
Exactly.
And what we've talked about today is where you get started.
Awesome. This is great, man. Thank you so much. This is amazing.
My pleasure.
You know, guys, like I said, I'll have links to Dr. D, Dr. Dom. And we're not talking Dr. Dominatrix. We're just talking Dr. Dom. But she is the health dominatrix. Wow. Did you come up with
that? Wow, you just came up with that. I love it. The health dominatrix.
That's amazing. All right. Thanks so much for being on this episode. And we'll see you soon, right?
Thank you very much for having me.
Awesome.
Bye-bye.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed that episode and got a lot of information from there that you can start using right away. Please make sure that you give this a 5-star rating and download this and send it to your friends. Also, if you haven't yet, please join the Over 40 Alpha Brotherhood for free. If you go to over40alpha.com/7-day trial, join for free and get workouts, nutrition, recovery, mindset, everything you need to get into the best shape of your life. Thanks a lot, and I'll see you in the next episode. Get it done.
You've been listening to the Over 40 Alpha podcast, hosted by Funk Roberts, former professional athlete turned master metabolic trainer and best-selling author, bringing you the best information to help you get into the best shape and health of your life in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Join us for another podcast.